The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What really is the difference between these vision-driven organizations and the Roman papacy?
There's trade-offs in life, and you can't necessarily accomplish. I mean, you can, but something's going to give on the other end, and that's just called growing up and accepting it.
Being faithful to that relationship doesn't earn you the relationship. It's simply a mark of your being in that committed relationship that God has already set in place.
Any reformation that does need to be brought about, either on a small scale or on a large scale, must always be under the governing and watchful authority of Holy Scripture.
In about 20 minutes, we're inviting you to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You hear just a little smattering there. You can hear the four soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org. What was pressing on my mind yesterday when we were watching the Supreme Court issue its long decision and watching everyone trying to sort it out to see what it did and didn't say and what it did or didn't uphold, was what bearing does this have upon Kathleen Sebelius' HHS mandate? Does it have any bearing upon? Does it uphold the mandate? Does it say anything about the mandate? The Supreme Court's ruling is obviously a big one, but what does it have to do with that all-important religious liberty infraction that the HHS mandate represents? Joining us to talk about that, Eric Rosbach. He's deputy counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. Eric, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
Earlier, we talked with former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, and he said that the Supreme Court's decision would not affect the pending complaints against the HHS mandate for contraception. Do you agree?
Yes. Former Attorney General Meese is, of course, correct that there's just no real connection between the ruling yesterday and these other cases.
So what happens with the ongoing challenges to religious liberty as they're kind of embodied in that HHS mandate?
Well, essentially, they're just going to keep going forward. There was a little bit of suspense going on because, if the Supreme Court had thrown out the entire Obamacare Act, that would have ended those cases, but favorably, because there wouldn't have been any more Health Care Reform Act to challenge. But because the court has upheld the act under the challenge to the individual mandate, the HHS employer mandate cases are going to be able to continue to go forward. And my guess is that they'll probably start to accelerate at this point.
Do you think there's a bit of confusion just surrounding the term mandate? Because many people who have had those religious concerns, when they say mandate, they mean the HHS mandate. Yesterday, the term mandate was being tossed about in the press, and accurately so. But with regard to the mandated payment for healthcare in general.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of confusion, and I'm glad you brought that point up. I mean, the plain truth of the matter is that the Health Care Reform Act is chock full of mandates. There's lots and lots of different mandates. The two ones we've been talking about are the individual mandate, which is the rule that says everybody in America must buy health insurance. That was the one that got ruled on yesterday. The one that involves the contraception and abortion drugs mandate, that is an employer mandate, and that is where employers are required to purchase health insurance for their employees. So they're separate mandates, the goal being to force everybody in America to buy health insurance.
Is the second one, the one that was issued by Kathleen Sebelius and her department, is that part of the actual act itself that was challenged, or is it Sebelius's application, kind of regulatory application, of her interpretation of the act?
Well, that's another great question. There's an employer mandate in the act, but Congress left it up to Secretary Sebelius and her coworkers to decide what went into that package. So Congress said employers must provide a basic package of health care for their employees and left it to Kathleen Sebelius to decide what goes in the package. And perhaps unsurprisingly, abortion drugs and contraception and sterilization all ended up in the package.
So the challenges to the HHS mandate, are they challenging the employer mandate in general, or are they challenging Sebelius' interpretation of that mandate?
They're really challenging both. They're not challenging the idea of having an employer mandate, but because the government is applying the employer mandate this way to religious institutions, the response is basically to both things. Now, the thing that makes it bad is the fact that they voluntarily put these, services, quote unquote, into the required package.
So how?
I mean, this is one of the problems when you have Congress write a very long bill and delegate a huge amount of authority to the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
How strong do you think the complaints with respect to religious liberty are against the HHS mandate?
Well, I've written several of them, so I obviously think they're great, but very strong. But I think that there's a very strong argument that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act forbids HHS from requiring what it's trying to require. And so far, we haven't seen any good arguments on the other side for why that statute, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, why that does not stop HHS from doing this.
Tell us a little bit more about that particular act.
So the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was a law that was passed, and it was passed in 1993 originally. It's been amended a few times since then, but it was passed by a completely bipartisan Congress, signed by President Clinton, and it restored a strong standard for protecting religious freedom in the United States. So anytime the federal government, including HHS, does something that substantially burdens someone's religious exercise, they need to have a really good reason for doing that. And in this case, they haven't come close to meeting that standard.
So is that the heart of the particular complaints that you have a part of? That, or do all the complaints, in some sense, as far as you know, reference the Religious Freedom Act?
I believe all of the different lawsuits, and I think there's 23 now that have been filed, all 23 of those lawsuits lead with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act claim. However, there are also First Amendment claims under the United States Constitution and some other, what you might call, administrative law claims.
So generally, do you see any bright spots in yesterday's Supreme Court ruling?
You know, I think that we're still trying to figure out what was said. It was, it was 193 pages. Obviously, we would have preferred that the court go ahead and get rid of the religious liberty problem by getting rid of the act altogether. But they didn't do that. That said, it's not clear how much it will actually end up affecting our lawsuits at all. In our opinion, it doesn't seem the way they ruled, it essentially made it irrelevant to our lawsuits. So I think that, we're still looking at it and processing it and seeing what everyone said, but the bottom line is it doesn't make a difference.
Real quickly, do you expect the opposition, the resistance against the religious liberty complaints, to in some way cite the Supreme Court decision yesterday as grounds against your complaints?
I don't think the Department of Justice will do that, but I do think that the politicians will try to say, oh, the Supreme Court has ruled and said that the whole Health Care Reform Act is right, and that's just wrong. No one should believe a politician who's saying that the Supreme Court approved the entire Health Care Act.
Eric Rosbach is deputy counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to the Beckett Fund under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Eric, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Todd.